This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think it's going to spread through the bubble. I think it's going to get down there. And at first, it's going to be fine because you're going to get these tests and the people who are going to wear the Aura ring are going to be separated and they're 14 days. But as you see down in Florida, you got like 12,000 cases in 4 days. So I assume someone in the bubble is going to pick it up and it's going to spread and it's going to spread to people and they're going to try to live their life of, all the rules, 108 pages of rules and how they think that they can prevent from getting it.
The voice of Brian Scalabrine earlier this week with Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's real talk right there. But you know what? NBA Commissioner Adam Silver agrees, saying, quote, "We know that COVID-19 will be with us for the foreseeable future, and we are left with no choice but to learn to live with the virus. No options are risk-free right now." And that holds true, I think, for all of us, no matter what industry we're in. You know, just because those guys play in the NBA doesn't mean that they have superpowers that we don't. You know what the superpower is? Be diligent. Make sure you pay attention to your hygiene, which means constantly wash your hands. Wear a mask. That is the cape for anyone who wants to be a superhero during this climate that we're living in. Pay attention to social distancing. Those are the only weapons we have that we know works to keep us healthy. And it's worked in Europe. It has worked in Asia. That's why we've seen sports leagues in those areas restart. And hopefully we can do that here. But so far, we have not been. We need to be better and smarter as a country. I can't say it enough. You know, you walk outside, how many people do you see without masks on? And even some of the people that you do see with masks on, they don't fit right. They're not over the nose. The nose is uncovered. It doesn't cover the chin, so you see the mouth exposed. Come on, we're better than that as a country. Zach Zaidman with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. All right, let's talk about the NBA because I hope they can do this and make it safe, and it's going to be a lot of fun. This could be a sports bonanza this summer if everyone is diligent about taking care of themselves. Joining us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Joining us is the new TV voice of the Bulls and so much more, Adam Amin. How are you, my friend? You safe? You healthy?
Hanging in there and healthy, thankfully. I'm hoping the same for you and yours, and just nice to hear your voice, my friend.
Same with you, likewise. All right, so tell me your initial thoughts upon seeing how the NBA is going to go about trying to resume the season. I love the fact that essentially, once they restart in late July, we're talking about games all day long.
The schedule looks very appetizing, admittedly. The possibility of kind of having almost a summer league vibe with the A-level players and A-level stakes. Summer league is fun because you get to see the rookies and it's a very relaxed environment. Everybody's hanging out. All these games are being played. And they are on TV during the summertime, NBA TV and ESPN and all these places broadcast these games, but it's not the A-level guys. It's just summer league. It's exhibition. It's warm-up. It's rec league. now all of a sudden you get this cool vibe that everybody seems to enjoy, and you add these stakes into it. I think it's fascinating. I think, like you said, it could be a bonanza this summer. This will be a fascinating, as baseball will be if they play, these will be fascinating, hopefully one-year experiments. So the spin of that, looking at it from that angle, gets me excited about sports again. The possibility of them being played again does get you a little bit revved up. There's a structure, a tangible structure to a schedule in place now. So all of those things kind of get you hyped up for the possibilities. Hopefully, as you said, Zach, very aptly, you know, let's be diligent and hopefully we get all this stuff.
Right. And that's not something, I mean, technically that's something we can all control, but we can't control what happens in their world. All we can do is our part, control what you can control. So if we do have sports, man, it's going to be great, because we've never really had this where you have all the sports converging at the same time, all of them playing meaningful games. Because when the NFL starts, it's meaningful right from the get-go, because it's essentially a playoff to get into the playoffs once the regular season starts. Now you can say the same thing about Major League Baseball, and we know what the NBA and the NHL are doing. So if we all are doing what we need to do to stay safe as a country, it can be a lot of fun beginning in late July.
I agree. I think there's the possibility for it. We also have to be prepared. And you played that clip from Scal. We have to be prepared for the possibility that this doesn't happen. So, just as fans, and I say this as somebody who's not going to be in Orlando. Again, the Bulls aren't going to be there. I'm not going to be participating in anything. I want to see it as a fan. I am also mentally preparing for the possibility that this doesn't happen if things take a drastic turn. I don't want to think about that, but obviously it's obviously a possibility, as Adam Silver has talked about and as many people have talked about.
Talking with Adam Amin here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Now, before sports shut down as we know it, you had an opportunity to get a close-up look at many of the teams that are going to be down in Orlando fighting for this NBA championship. What stands out to you following this layoff about the favorites? Are they still the favorites? Are there teams that you would add to the mix now that you wouldn't have back in March?
I would say that the favorites are still the favorites. It's hard to argue against the talent level of a Lakers team. LeBron having an outstanding year, 35 years of age. He's leading the league in assists, double digits per game. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. Giannis is putting up MVP caliber numbers. So I'm looking at Milwaukee as the favorite in the East. No surprise. I would watch out for Toronto. I think Toronto was a team that, typical of Toronto the last couple of years, once they start to get healthy and they get their full allotment of players, their consistency is as good as anybody's at both ends of the floor in the league. And I would say the same thing about the Clippers. As well as L.A. was playing, the big questions were about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and them playing together, the lack of them playing together, the health issues that both of them have dealt with, hamstring issues for Paul George all year. Kawhi has been dealing with that load management and with the knee issue, and it's always a question of how much he's going to play. But the Clippers were starting to get healthy, and they started to get a lot of personnel on the same page after the trade deadline. And I feel like the Clippers are a team that you really have to watch out for. I think Toronto's coming up. I think Milwaukee's the clear favorite in the East. I think the Lakers are potentially dominant. But I think the Clippers might be the best team in the NBA, and with this layout, that might give them the biggest advantage.
Well said. All right, so help me out here. Calling a game off a monitor, what's that like?
It's not as fun as being there in person. It's not as easy, in my estimation, in my opinion, to call a game just off the monitor or monitors if you have multiple camera angles from a feed. It's harder to do in a sport like football than it is to do a sport like basketball, where basketball is fairly self-contained. There's only 10 people on the floor that are active in the activity at a time. So, just the scope is a little bit easier to deal with. But you're at the mercy of camera shots that are being fed back to you, and you are at the mercy. You can't just look left and right at any point and observe what a fan or a coach or a player on the bench or anybody is doing at that point. You are at the mercy of what is being shown to you by camera angles and things of that nature. So a little bit of the connectivity to the game and to the feel of the action you lose the ability to anticipate, which I think is something that separates the really great broadcasters from just the okay ones. The ability to anticipate kind of goes away. There are some definite hurdles to climb, but they're very specific to what Zach and I do and to what all of us do that broadcast games. It's very specific. It's very niche. It can be done. It just does have some very specific hurdles to it.
Adam Amin is with us, the new TV voice of the Bulls, but he also works for Fox Sports. Have you guys at Fox determined how you're going to go about doing this? Are you going to be in a studio? Are you going to be at home? Or are you going to actually be at the event? What are they talking about there?
Yeah, we haven't had much discussion about it because once you get the schedule and infrastructure in place, that's certainly a way to start thinking about it now. I'm sure ESPN is now going to start their protocols as the NBA schedule has been announced. When Major League Baseball gets a full feel for its schedule, then you start to talk about, all right, how much regionalization are we doing? We know that it's going to be a fairly regionalized schedule. If we're going to be on site, we separate, broadcasters by region for the teams themselves and the team broadcasters. It's an individualized thing. Are you going to take, are you going to hit the road? Our buddy Wayne Randazzo with the New York Mets, I think their plan was to be at home at their home ballpark and get the feedback and call all the games home and road from the same setup. So I think it's dependent on the league and on the teams. We haven't had much discussion about it at Fox because I think we're, like everybody else, is in a current holding pattern right now. But I imagine it will be a lot of combinations of the things that you mentioned, Zach. Some permutation of all three of those things is a possibility to work and call games and give as good of a feel of the action to the fans watching at home as possible.
Yeah, it's going to be the most interesting, and hopefully, as you said, just 1 year of doing this, and hopefully life can return to somewhat of that normal that we used to think of back in the day before this all started. We, with the Cubs, we're going to be broadcasting every game from Wrigley Field, home and away.
Yep.
So it'll be a unique experience. But I think there will be aspects of presenting the game, both on TV and radio, that can be great compared to what we used to do. I think the conversations that we will hear taking place on the field or on the court will give fans a unique view of the game. I think the camera angles that will be used can be a little bit different than in years gone by. And I think the key is to just embrace it, as opposed to, it's easy to complain.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a society where we complain about everything, but I think embrace it and have fun with it and understand that it's historic and unique. And I just hope that we can play. If we play, then that means the world, in our country at least, is a much safer place.
Yeah, you're not going to hear complaints from you or me or anybody else that does this for a living if we get to do it. I think at this point, and listen, this is a little bit of a magnifying glass or maybe a mirror at ourselves right now, because I think all of us in some way, shape, or form are starting to realize what is important and what isn't important, or at least how we can prioritize certain things and how we can kind of not sweat the small stuff, so to speak, as much as we did before. I hope at the very least this makes all of us a little bit more grateful for any opportunities that we're allowed to have. I know Chicago's reopening this weekend in a lot of ways, so I hope people don't take for granted the opportunities that are now presented to them. And you're not going to hear any complaints from me or Zach or anybody that does our job, because if we get to have sports again, we're all going to be chomping at the bit to be back in those seats, in those chairs, whether it's at the stadium, whether it's from a studio, whether we're at the game or not. We're going to do our best to just try to do the job, like you said, Zach, embrace the unique circumstances that are presented to us and just try to be appreciative of it a little bit more.
I've been dying to ask you this since you got the Bulls job and it became official. What is the coolest phone call or text that you got from someone congratulating you on getting the job?
Well, there are a lot, and I'm thankful for that. And top of the list, of course, are Neil and Stacy to you know, be so kind to call, and the conversations that I was lucky and fortunate enough to have with both of them, two class acts as human beings, and obviously Stacey's as good of a partner as you can ask for. But I think John Paxson, getting a text from John Paxson is pretty cool. I've met John. I've had dinner with John. It's not bad. It's not the starstruck or awe factor. It's not bad. It's the fact that I grew up watching that guy make huge shots for the Bulls in big game after big game, and just to look down and say and see his number and see a text that says, "Hey, Adam, John Paxson here." Like, that's a really weird, surreal circumstance that, like, the seven-year-old version of me is freaking out in a big way when he sees that. So I think that's the most valuable and or most impactful one I got, man. And yours, of course. And your very kind words as well. I did not mean to diminish that, but Pax might have taken the cake.
This wasn't about me. I just think, to me, the coolest thing about this for you is that you are taking over for the signature voice of the dynasty.
Yeah. Five of the six.
That's amazing.
Five of the six. And you know, somebody asked me about, like, my connection to Neil as a broadcaster. I don't have as much of a connection to Neil as a broadcaster. My style was shaped well after Neil had left the radio. So for me, I was still kind of learning in the business, and Neil had already slid over to TV, and I'd focused on radio as a student. So people ask me, well, did Neil influence you? And in all honesty, he didn't influence me a ton, but he was the voice of my childhood. He was the voice of the fan. Like, that's the connectivity I have. Like, you and I are fans of Pat Hughes, but you also learn from him. I also learn from him. And he's kind of almost like, it's a different role that he plays for people like you and me. Whereas Neil, like, I'm flashed back to being a kid when I hear his voice. And that's the different level of connectivity that I have with somebody like Neil compared to somebody like Pat.
All right, our final few moments here with Adam Amin. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk some football with you, specifically the Bears. And obviously, the major topic of conversation by the time you get in the booth is going to be the quarterback competition.
Of course.
But more so than that, what do you want to see from this offense so the quarterback, whoever it is, can be successful in 2020?
Yeah, and I think you and Kevin were talking about it a little bit earlier. I also feel smarter when I listen to Kevin talk about this, so I will just parrot all of his talking points and just repeat what he said. But I think the tight end factor is huge, and obviously the running back factor. I'm not worried about Allen Robinson. I'm not worried about this receiving core. There's plenty of speed, plenty of talent, and good hands across the board with the receivers. I'm not worried about that. I think this offensive line can be really solid. There's continuity there. I'm not that worried about the offensive line. If they're healthy, I think they'll be good. I'm concerned about Matt Nagy's play calling and where the tight ends fit in. And those two things obviously go hand in hand with each other and with what the running game does. There's a certain concert of movement, and you know this, Zach, watching really good offenses in the past, there's a certain concert of movement between backs and tight ends. And in a Matt Nagy offense, an Andy Reid offense, Doug Peterson offense, this whole tree, this, you know, all these branches off this tree, if the tight ends are effective mid-range, anywhere from 8 to 15 yards, that means it's going to be an efficient offense. Look what Travis Kelce does. Look what the tight ends, the Zach Ertzes of the world, have done in Philadelphia. I think the tight ends are a huge factor. Kevin talked about the running game and how it needs to be established, and Matt Nagy's play calling needs to have some balance. And I think those three things, if they're in concert with one another, are actually going to lead to a very efficient-looking offense.
Right, and then the next question becomes is, who is the right trigger man for an offense like that? And I don't know that Trubisky can prove it in the preseason. And I'm not knocking his ability. What I'm saying is I don't believe you can get an accurate gauge, because defenses are not going to try and trick you the way they would during a real regular season game. And ultimately, to me, more so than the physical stuff, that's been what's held Trubisky back from reaching the potential that the Bears saw in him when he was drafted.
I would tend to agree, and I think you've seen this in the growth of him. There was a learning curve that he wasn't able to connect with, I think, at times in the offense. And I'm not concerned about his arm or his athletic ability. I know the deep ball stuff. I know all the numbers and I know all the PFF stats, but I'm not really concerned with that. If the running game is going, the tight ends are going, the mid-range game needs to be better. You know, the intermediate stuff needs to be better. I'm not worried about the athleticism of Mitch Trubisky. I'm worried about the same things you are. Can you grasp the concepts necessary to lead an efficient offense? Because I do think Nick Foles has those tools. I think he knows the offense well. And for the first time, there is no safety net, and there are other options instead of Mitch Trubisky. There's no safety net for him, and he's going to get pushed. He's going to get pushed in preseason, assuming there is one. He's going to get pushed in practice during the regular season. And as Kevin mentioned, too, and especially in a COVID era where health of quarterbacks is that much more essential, you're going to need two quarterbacks. And I would imagine at some point both might end up playing anyway in this 2020 kind of season that we're looking at.
Adam, thank you for raising the IQ here in segment number two of the radio program. So taking over where Kev left off, really appreciate you spending some time with us. Congratulations on the new gigs. Hopefully I get a chance to see you at a stadium or an arena very soon.
Looking forward to that, my friend. Appreciate you.
Take care. Adam Amin, the new TV voice of the Bulls, as well as Fox Sports' newest edition, spending some time with us here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.